one of my favorite subjects is right now, practical health. We talk about health, in a practical way, charging Dr. Gayla Jewell, nurse practitioner, to come up with the ideas, the topics, the talking points. Makes my life easy. And yes, Dr. Gayla Jewell, welcome to the morning show. Glad you're here this June.
Why, thank you. It is June.
It is June.
You know, when you said June, I was thinking solstice is coming up. Is that June 20th or 21st?
There's a solstice run.
Yeah, the 26th is a full moon.
That's the solstice run.
It must be
solstice, yeah.
You have a full moon for that. What a good energy run. All the energy coming up and out.
So not so cut back on caffeine is what you're saying?
Do cut back on the caffeine and just trust the moon. It's important.
Well, I had to do an interview on what the solstice even means. And, of course, what we mean when we get together in Practical Health is we do always open the phone lines, 331-6719, and ask for your input. And, Gayla, we kind of have a part two of last month. Can you set the scene?
We have Ken Porter part two. Mm-hmm. We had part one a month ago. Ken Porter, good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Gayla. He's a
somatic therapist and other things. Just briefly introduce yourself again, then we'll do a quick review of last month before we move on.
All right. I'm Ken Porter. I'm a certified somatic therapist. I work at Fountain Hill Center in Grand Rapids. I've been doing this for 10 years.
Mm-hmm. You must have had a prior life.
I have had many prior lives.
Not that
actually.
You look experienced, but you know.
And what are you saying?
It's the wisdom in the face.
Yeah. I've had a career change. We can all have career change.
Somatotherapy. Okay. Is psychosomatic, means that it's all in their head.
Right. Well, not necessarily.
No. Uh-huh.
Psychosomatic really just means the connection between the mind and the body.
So doesn't SOM mean body?
S-O-M-A, means body, right?
Soma.
So somatic therapy means body-centered therapy. Mm-hmm. And the approach that I use is basically going into your awareness of your own body to harvest information about physical issues, emotional issues, spiritual issues, and educating yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's a great phrase, to harvest information from your body.
I'm ready for the practical aspect of it,
I know. We're going to bring in the sheaves here. Okay, so
that's
last
a religious song. I was going to say, bring in the sheaves.
I know. I can play it on the organ. Okay, so last week we talked about different kinds of, I don't want to say conditions, but different kind of responses or reactions to life people have that tend to be harbored in their body. Is that a fair way to say it?
Yeah.
And help them become aware of it. And the one thing we talked about last month was anxiety.
Right.
Or chronic anxiety. And you made a distinction between those two. Could you just review that?
Sure. Last month I talked about how anxiety is actually a good thing because it's tipping you off to something that's out of balance, something that's not in harmony inside yourself. Your mind and your body aren't on the same page. Chronic anxiety, on the other hand, is a signal that this imbalance has not been healed or has not been addressed.
Okay. And so the imbalance becomes self-perpetuating almost.
Yes.
Yeah. And then you feel worse and worse.
Right. Not just self-perpetuating, but it gets more complicated because it becomes physicalized or somaticized. And once that happens, then it gets very complicated because then the body is actually in on the act and it starts to accommodate the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So then your body gets used to it. It's kind of like being addicted to alcohol. Your body starts to accommodate it after a while. When you take it away, it's very painful. You have withdrawal symptoms.
And it doesn't feel normal to have it gone.
Exactly, right.
Because it's just familiar.
Exactly.
So the body becomes an expressor of what's happening in the mind, the spirit.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember talking about that last month because it caused me to think about somebody who tends to be depressed for a long time, and their body actually seems to fold in on itself. Mm-hmm. Their shoulders come forward like they're becoming protective, and there's a stance that I see that many people who are depressed, a physical posture that they take, and you kind of know the head's down a little bit. And somebody who's really depressed very seldom stands up straight with their chin up and their chest out and walks with a spring in their step.
Right, exactly, Right.
So that's a body expression.
Right.
Well, let's move on from chronic anxiety to chronic pain. I mean, chronic pain is a big issue. It's a big enough issue in this town that there are two clinics that are dedicated specifically to chronic pain.
Right.
And people can go in and receive injections or nerve blocks or IV medication, even be given a light anesthesia for a while to get them through the really hard part.
Right.
Chronic pain, the source of it, I'm just going to start with a direct question and we'll go to other things. Chronic pain is often caused by some kind of physical trauma or damage. And maybe their leg was broken or their back was broken, and where the nerves come out of the spine now, that, you know, it's narrowed. And you can work with somebody who has chronic pain caused by trauma?
Yes. I can work with somebody on a physical level with
as a massage, with your massage therapist hat on?
Right, right, right. And, you know, there's, you know, sometimes I can help somebody and sometimes they're going to need a lot more than what I can offer. Sometimes medication is a necessary part of managing that kind of pain.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm more apt to be able to help somebody with is a chronic pain that's of an emotional origin.
Mm-hmm.
Or chronic pain that maybe started out as a physical origin but then has become an emotional issue. Because chronic pain is a horrible thing to live with. And, you know, we talked earlier about this, but it affects somebody's personality after a while. It affects how your outlook on life. It, you know, affects your relationships. It's really hard to enjoy life when you're suffering through every moment of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I can help people in two ways. I can help them with the emotional after effects of chronic pain. And I can help them with the emotional roots of chronic pain.
Okay, so you're saying, it's almost like you're saying pain is a messenger about what's happening in the body.
Right.
Pain is not necessarily the problem, as it's the messenger.
Right.
And when you look to see where the message is coming from, then some relief may be found.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Is chronic pain controlled or cured?
Good question. Chronic pain can be cured.
That would be the end goal.
That'd be the end goal, right. No, I'm not going to claim that all cases of chronic pain can be cured. I wish that were true. But, you know, in the cases where none of us have any other way to cure a particular type of chronic pain, that's where management comes into place. And
recognizing trigger points and all that.
Right. I mean, and even a pharmaceutical approach, you know.
Well, there are different sources of chronic pain. Trauma and damage is one. Mm-hmm. Another one might be fibromyalgia.
Mm-hmm.
Another source of chronic pain might be, I'm just going through my mind here, might be chronic tension that has just distorted your body. It would be helpful, I think, if you could give an example of not a particular person you saw, but in your years of experience and talking with other somatotherapists and your certifications, there must be some kind of like classic examples you talk about to learn. Can you share something like that with us?
Certainly. I definitely see, I work with and my colleagues and trainers have all worked with lots of people who have suffered from severe childhood abuse, sexual, physical, emotional, and people with a severe abuse history quite often, I would say usually, have some type of chronic pain going on.
Are you talking emotional pain now or physical pain?
Physical pain.
Mm-hmm.
It's very common to have severe physical pain and chronic physical pain.
Can we go even to more detail? I mean, are we talking a back pain,
right,
headaches,
yeah,
or
so,
are we
pelvic pain?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
yeah.
All of the above. Back pain is very common, neck pain is very common, migraines are very common, fibromyalgia is very common. And when you think about it, it makes an awful lot of sense, because someone who went through an abuse, you know, it's a traumatic experience. And when you think about being hurt, you know, you think about falling off your bicycle or, you know, in any kind of injury that you sustain as a kid or as an adult, you know, the first thing your body does is it winces. You feel pain and you wince. It's just a natural response. So what is wincing? It's your body tensing up. So your body's natural response to pain is tension.
Is that like an avoidance kind of thing or a protective move?
Yeah, I think it's several things. It's, you know, pulling away from the source of the pain. There's a, you know, a hot flame. Your body's going to pull away from it. It's going to remove itself from whatever the harmful.
And that's an unconscious thing. You don't think, oh, flame, I better jump. It just
exactly
boom.
Right. Right. You know, and when you're anticipating pain, you know, if you're in an abusive situation and you're anticipating being hit, your body's going to naturally want to wince. And if, you know, if the blow never comes, your body's going to stay in that tensed up posture, expecting it, you know, being ready. And so after time, your body and your mind just, they learn. They learn to just stay in the state of kind of vigilant tension.
Or hypervigilance.
Hypervigilance.
Carries over in other situations in life, maybe.
Many situations, right, right. It starts to affect your outlook on life, your outlook on other people. You kind of tend to walk around, you know, being in this hypervigilant state and expecting other people to hurt you. Mm. And so it colors, you know, it colors the way that you see people and the way that you view yourself.
Mm-hmm. So somebody might come, a person might come to you saying, I've been told I have fibromyalgia, which is kind of a vague, I mean, it's not, there are diagnostic ways to say somebody does have fibromyalgia, so you can give them a definition, but it's still kind of a generalized, maybe vague's not the word, it kind of hurts all over, and there might be things that trigger it to happen, or just might be, I'm miserable every morning. So somebody who's had, are you suggesting that people who have fibromyalgia do have a history of abuse? I want to see what kind of association you're making here to make it clear for our listeners.
Right. It's more of a correlation versus a cause and effect.
Right.
We
yeah. Yeah. And no, I'm certainly not saying that if you have fibromyalgia, then you have been abused as a child. But the reverse is very often true. I mean, there is a strong correlation. It's a typical response to severe childhood abuse. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure there are many other things that can bring on something like fibromyalgia. There may be no abuse. There may be a bad car accident or something where your body went into a very like hyper guarded state, you know, and it may have only been for a minute, but it was such a severe mental, physical, and emotional event that it traumatized your body.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody comes into you, let's just follow through on a case. A pretend case about fibromyalgia, just for study. Somebody comes in and they say they have fibromyalgia. How do you know? What physically are they expressing that lets you know it's fibromyalgia? What symptoms do they say they have?
Mostly it's physical pain. It's like musculoskeletal pain. So it's
aching or sharp or?
It varies widely.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it's, you know, dull pain. Sometimes it's very sharp pain. Some people can't even stand to take a shower. Like just the force of the shower water, the shower head is too painful on their skin.
Wow.
So sometimes, you know, the pain is on the surface of the skin. Sometimes it's deep in the muscle tissue. Sometimes it's in the joints. But it's often intolerable.
And if they come to you and say that they heard that you're a massage therapist, it just sounds like if you're already hurting, why would you want a massage therapist kneading into that area?
Mm-hmm. And that varies widely, too. Some people with fibromyalgia can handle massage, and it's actually quite beneficial. And other people, like you're saying, I mean, you know, if the shower is hurting them, obviously, a massage is not going to be indicated. And so with someone like that, I'm more likely to work, you know, from a somatic therapy standpoint and to work with them on an emotional healing level.
Which is a kind of approach without touching first. Is that I'm just thinking, if I was thinking about coming to your office, I'd kind of want to know a little bit about what to expect.
Yeah, sure.
And so.
Right. So the somatic therapy does not require touching. There can be touch involved, but that just totally depends on the particular client and the particular direction that the therapy is moving. But it can often be done with little or no touch, and it's primarily about body awareness. It's about awareness of posture and sensation and movement and like you're saying, the body is the messenger, you know, the pain is the messenger. So it's learning to listen to the messages, learning to glean the meaning from the messages.
Okay, well, so I have a question. So you're suggesting, as one example, mm-hmm. that somebody may be presenting with pain because of something that happened in their life, something that was an accident or something that was done to them or something over which they had no control, but there it is. Another piece to it is, and I hear people saying this, well, I'm kind of a high-strung person and I carry a lot of tension, but, you know, it's just the way I'm wired. I've been this way all my life, mm-hmm. and I'm wired this way. So mm-hmm. there it is. You know, love
right.
it or leave it, you know.
Right, right. Yeah, and basically that's a cop out.
Ooh.
Because it's not true. To say that, well, it is true and it isn't true.
Well, come on, our neurosystem is like a wiring.
It is
right?
a wiring,
it's
right?
It's our electrical
right.
wiring.
Mm-hmm. And it's true that there's an expression: nerves that fire together wire together. So you know, the more you reinforce a certain thought pattern, a certain belief, a certain behavior, that does tend to become wired in.
Oh, we are what we think, and we think what we are.
Yeah.
Wow.
There you go. There
yeah.
you go, right?
I wax philosophic.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, but where it becomes a cop out, or where it becomes a erroneous, is that the wiring does not. It's not fate. I mean, just because it becomes wired that way does not mean that you are fated to be stuck with that for the rest of your life. You can change. You can change the wiring in your brain and the wiring in your whole nervous system.
That's what you can help with. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just makes me really curious because I was taught, and this was, you know, a long time ago, that the nervous system is one of the more permanent systems in the body, and that if you do damage to a nerve, that nerve is forever damaged. It will not regenerate. If you sever a spinal cord, you have a severed spinal cord. You know, if you have a severed nerve in your hand, you have a severed nerve in your hand. And when you have a neural pathway, that the wiring in the brain, that's been laid down since embryologically, prenatally, you know, growing up. I mean, it's like, what we say, it's like the circuit board. And when you look at a circuit board, you don't rewire those babies. There it is, right? It's mm-hmm. functioning, or poof, it malfunctions. Yeah.
True. That's true of a circuit board. Yeah. I suppose you could rewire a circuit board if you really knew what you were doing. I think, you know, analogies always break down at a certain point, but I think a more useful analogy would be, you know, like the route that you take to get to work. Driving through city streets. So the city streets represent like a grid work of various pathways. And you can take any number of routes to get to work from point A to point B. But you can change that. You can take a different route to work. And that's kind of what rewiring the circuitry is about. You can take a different pathway, or you can take a different pathway and get to a completely different location. So, for example, you know, your destination might currently be, it's not going to work out, you know. Like say, I have chronic pain and I'm stuck with it. So that's a destination in your mind.
Stuckness.
You've decided that, okay, well, here's an option, here's an option, here's an option. They all go through the same route and end up at the same point. Nothing's going to help me. I'm stuck with this. There are millions of other destinations you can get to. You can get to a destination that says, oh, there's hope. Or, oh, I just noticed that I've been without pain for 2 minutes. Isn't that interesting? You know, and So you can start taking different pathways and actually reaching different destinations.
Mm-hmm. About 2 minutes till news, Gail.
Can people, is it that the pain, I'm thinking about a damaged and scarred area. Is it that the pain itself changes or the perception of the pain changes? Is that an answerable question? Hmm. Because I think if somebody has some permanent damage, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how easily it is to answer that question because it varies so widely. But in many cases, it's not just a perception change, it's an actual physical change.
In the case
of somebody holding tension in their body, protective tension,
yes,
that can be changed.
And that makes the pain worse when you squeeze around.
Exactly. When your muscles tense up, it ultimately causes pain.
So it's the difference between acceptance and resignation. When you accept something is there, you can work with it and you can reroute it.
Yes.
But if you resign to it, you're stuck with it.
Yeah, well said.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Where do you want to go after news?
We're going to move after the news and just talk about a few other possible case scenarios and then possibilities to what you do, how you really help people more specifically.
Practical health.
Okay. Yeah.
Ken Porter, he does transformational body work, and of course, Dr. Gila Jewell, nurse practitioner, our practical health segment, 9:28 in the morning. Stay with us. Mm-hmm.